Blog Talk Radio.
Daylight come and me want go.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Frank Stanisi. You're listening to the Candid Frank and Lively Show, NFL edition. I can't believe this must be Halloween or something. Today is our fourth show. You can be heard at area code 714-242-5250. 714-242-5250. For those of you that have long-distance calling plan covering North America, the call will be free. You can also sign in at Blog Talk Radio, the chat line, sign in and make a comment or question in the chat box that can be shared on the air. We will be talking about the men in tights. Yes, the NFL tonight with some callers, Kevin Kingsley of Kingsley's Collectibles and John Granger. Possibly, he's real busy. He says, Frank, I'm too busy to be on the show. I'm doing my picks. No matter the score, John will be happy if he wins. So it turns out, oh my goodness, his picks were right. Goodness gracious, he did a great job. Good for you, John. Doesn't have to work for another 2 weeks. Tonight we will do a postmortem on the two conference finals. Next Sunday we will start previewing the Super Bowl, or at least the Super Bowl week, because the Super Bowl is the following Sunday. That's the 3rd and the 10th, respectively. Now, earlier today, two games were played in the NFC and the AFC to determine the participants in Super Bowl 47 on February 3rd. It'll be between the NFC's San Francisco 49ers, 28-24 victors today, and the AFC's Baltimore Ravens, 28-13 victors today. And let me tell you, Mom and Dad Harbaugh are sitting at home going, oh, my God, who am I going to root for? Well, it's either Jim or John that are going to win. So we know Harbaugh is going to win the Super Bowl as a coach this year, the 47th Super Bowl. We just don't know which. Now, the next game, which is the Super Bowl, is going to be confusing because they're both road teams. And just so happens today, both road teams won. Home teams suck, apparently. The 49ers, before today, lost 5 straight playoff games. San Fran overcame a 17-0 start for Atlanta. And even they fumbled the ball at the Falcons' goal line. And guess what? That offensive front that they have, my goodness, they weigh in at, they tip the scales at 2,250 pounds. And these guys had no trouble moving the defensive line on the Tweethearts from Atlanta, giving the 24-year-old second-year NFL quarterback the time needed in the second half to mount the comeback. Head coach Jim Harbaugh was masterful in executing his plan with the young mobile quarterback. Frank Gore, all-time leader at running back, proved the Niners could run. Michael James, a little runs through the seam for a TD, and that was effective. Randy Moss, the old man with the long strides, he even made a contribution. Atlanta shut down the pass, but the run game by the 49ers was unstoppable. At key times, Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan couldn't perform the drop-back passing technique. That old can't-run technique didn't work in this game either. He was picked apart in the second half. John Harbaugh, in the AFC game, let Flacco loose, and even the 40-mile-an-hour winds could not affect Flacco's long pass strategy. It was blowing at 40 miles per hour, so needless to say, the ball was impacted. But he threw into the wind like it was nothing. And besides that, it was like mayo on rice. Was served all game. Defensive backs were aggressive all game at the line of scrimmage. Tom Brady is 8-6. At least before the game, he started his career at 9-0. He is now 8-7 in his last games after 9-0. A red zone failure is the only description within 25 yards in the first, I guess, maybe half and a bit. They made it within the 25-yard line, and Brady couldn't bring the ball home. Bill Belichick, he didn't look too happy. It almost looked like he wanted to wrap that hoodie right around his face. Ridley got concussed on a fumble. More about that later. Baltimore Ravens wanted to keep the game close. The late turnover made it possible. And this team, oh my gosh, can they hit hard. Boy, New England started hearing footsteps. So would I if those guys were coming after me. Ravens became healthy in time for the playoffs, which is another advantage for them. Ray Lewis came back. He looked like he was praying in the middle of the field at the end of the game. And, man, did you see all those cameras? Holy moly. Bill Belichick and Brady, they had a record since they've been together of 67-0 after leading in the first half. They are now standing at 67-1. Baltimore changed offensive coordinator in midseason, thank goodness. John Harbaugh, coach, brother, Jim is with the 49ers. And John said earlier in the day, New England will have to play a great game to beat us. Well, New England didn't play a great game, but Joe Flacco did, even though he was sacked for the first time by the Patriots this year. He threw no INTs, overcame the wind, and guess what? It meant they won. Pollard, oh man, this guy, Pollard, I just call him the Punisher. He's been with, I think it's five different teams, and he has taken out everybody on the Patriots. Baltimore scored 20 unanswered points, led to their victory. A couple other highlights in the game. There was, of course, what was Kaepernick doing with those hand signals? It looked like he was rolling a cigarette. Well, at least I think it was a cigarette. 61-yard punt by Lee settled the team for a little while. Security guard was clipped at the sidelines, injured, and they couldn't find a stretcher big enough to pull. No, that's not nice. Anyway, David Akers missed a field goal in the third quarter that hit the top of the upright. When was the last time you saw that? Five different draft picks for the Falcons. Julio Jones, he had two TDs today. And the team moved up in the draft. They gave five. And this guy's awesome. He's got a great future. He's going to be a great one. New England Patriots, I love the direct snap to Woodhead. I had no clue. Neither did Baltimore. Did you see that? He just went straight ahead. And everybody's going, what? New England Patriots, the stunt worked, but the game didn't. The timeout faux pas at the end of the second half didn't really affect the Pats, but it might have been a signal that they were losing their composure a little bit. As some of the talking heads mentioned at the game, they did mention that the home team, if they're not doing well after the first half, the pressure begins to mount, and maybe it did. And New England pressed a little too hard, and Baltimore showed a little bit of patience, and that's probably why we saw the result that we did. Now, we can't go a week without mentioning the CFL. Well, you know what? The CFL BC Lions were mentioned in the game. Can you imagine? They were mentioned. And then, of course, earlier today, Muhammad Ali, the greatest, called the Baltimore team. He couldn't be there. He said, if I had wings, I would fly there. Muhammad, there are airplanes. Anyway, he gave them an inspirational message. I mean, it was so inspirational, Baltimore Ravens won. So now it seems we're on to next week, where we will all start talking about what's going to happen. But for tonight, we are only going to talk about what happened tonight. So if you'd like to give us a call, you can give us a call at 714-242-5255. Oh, John, was that slow enough? Okay, let me try it again. 714-242-5250. What a game. I'm telling you, those were two really good games. I have to admit, though, I really liked the first game better. That was a bit better game. But, hey, they're all good, right? Okay, we got people waiting on the phone here. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Top of the morning to you. How you doing, Frankie?
Oh, John, it's you.
Yes, it is. It's early morning, and I think we had a big problem with all these Raven fans going all over the air and jamming up everything, so we had to come on a little bit late, eh?
They were celebrating. Can you blame them?
I can't. I'm kind of celebrating. It's sort of a bittersweet day. The picks were right on, but my Patriots didn't pull it through. But, I, you know, it is what it is.
Absolutely, it is what it is. And, you know, John, we watched some football together. And I saw some strange things today. You know, how many we've seen? Now we haven't known each other very long, but we've seen enough football games together, and some of the weird stuff that happened today. It was amazing. There were really two really good games. Both teams were behind early, and came back, and both of them did it on the road. That's amazing, don't you think?
Yeah, it is amazing. It's also amazing that both the winning teams ended up with 28 points. And they're both brothers who are coaching. It's a little bit weird. So a few things that are a little bit odd about this, but it's, you know, destiny. It's the way it was meant to be. But still, 28 points for both winning teams. I don't think I've ever seen that.
And you do a lot with numbers.
I try, and they work out. You know what I mean? They worked out this time around. So I'm a happy camper, kind of, you know. I'm not as sad as if it was the Argos who lost and didn't make it to the Grey Cup, but no, it's still kind of hard. You know, I'm a Patriots fan for a long time, but I'm going with the Niners. You know, I like the Niners to beat Atlanta, and I'm still liking the Niners to take the whole thing.
You're forcing me now to take Baltimore, because you know what our deal is. You get to pick the first team, and I get what's left.
Well, hey, you know what, Frank? As long as you want to be on the losing end, I don't care what the other side.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to bet against you, that's for sure. I might have a pick on the radio, but I won't be betting against you at the wicker.
Okay, well, call, you know, listeners, if you're listening out there, you make sure that you never pick Frank's side.
Oh, gee, ouch, that hurt. You know, that almost hurts as much as getting kicked out of a... Never mind. Anyway, let's go on to another caller. Hello. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Frank. This is Kevin Keith.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
Hey, not bad. We're talking football, men in tights tonight, I guess, eh?
Yep. This is Kevin Kingsley of Kingsley Collectibles. One day you got to take us on a tour of your place, man.
Media on the Facebook there. My people got called by your people, and I thought I'd call it in and see how it's going.
How'd you like the game?
I liked it a lot, actually. I had the Ravens and the 49ers on both sides, so I laid it down and took it in on both sides. You couldn't write a better story with the Ray Lewis story, you know, announcing that he's going to retire at the beginning of the playoffs, now he's going to the Super Bowl. But what's the bigger story? The Harbaugh brothers?
That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
Now, I think another story is going to be that the San Francisco 49ers had not won a playoff game five straight times, and they finally won a playoff game. And then, of course, the indestructibility of the New England Patriots, who seem over the years have become less and less of a power and more of a San Jose, like in hockey, where they're just not, they just don't have the, I don't know, I, just, they don't, I guess they don't have the hunger and or desire to make it to the Super Bowl again.
Well, I think the Patriots will be back. You always know that they're a good team. They got a good leader. They got a good general. But, they took a beating today on social media right after the game. They were saying about how Belichick can at least, he doesn't have to change his clothes for bed because he always wears his pajamas.
The team fell asleep in the second half.
Yeah.
So they were probably wearing their pajamas. They were men in tights when it started, and they became men in pajamas.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a great game. Hey, listen, tell us a little bit about the collectibles in the NFL. Are they very popular here in Southern Ontario?
Yeah, they're a tough sell. It's a tough market. In Canada, what goes is the hockey, the NHL autographs. They're always popular. The football stuff you got to look for is the unusuals.
What would be an unusual?
How about a Warren Moon autograph mini helmet or a Warren Moon autograph card?
Now, I wish I had known that a couple of weeks ago because we were with Warren Moon. I could have brought a basket of them.
There you go.
See,
yeah,
what a mistake
I
made. I knew there was a reason
collection.
Why I should have brought some paraphernalia with me to where was that we were, John? Where was it?
It
the
was
place
like
across the Sky Dome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, it was a place across the street from Sky Dome. During the Grey Cup Festival.
Oh, that's right, where Laurie Mercy was having the party.
Absolutely,
with
absolutely.
Friends of the Argonauts.
Steam whistle, wasn't it?
The steam whistle. You got it, buddy. That's it, the steam whistle.
You know it. It's the steam whistle. Anything Argos, I know.
It was actually War Moon, Terry Greer, and Carmich Holloway was there, but I got to tell you something about War Moon, though. Not the friendliest guy you'd ever want to meet. Greer and Conridge, outstanding people. Warren, not so much. Not so much. I got to say, I like the guy. I like the guy.
Come on, John. It's
because
he's not an Argo.
No.
Come on,
totally
admit it. He's not an Argo, so you don't like him, right?
No. Totally
no.
Respect the guy. Fully did. But I got to tell you, I liked him more before I met him. He wasn't that polite. But Conridge and Terry, unbelievable. These guys go over the top to, you know, get to be close to the fans and stuff. Unfortunately, I think the NFL got to Warren's ego a little bit and maybe kind of trickled in, but still a nice guy. Nothing bad against him, nothing at all. But yeah, if you would have told us there, Kevin, we would have taken that down to that night and had it signed for you.
I have it signed. I have a few.
We would have split the profit with you.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
We're a free enterprise system
profit.
Here.
Talking about making profits there, John, and laying it down to win. You know, Furious Giles today tweeted out that he just won $15K on tonight's games. Thank you, NFL.
Holy.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And his Twitter feed at Thanks to Juice, you know.
Kevin, let me ask you. So what's your prediction for the Super Bowl then? You got one yet?
Yeah, I'm going with Ravens, going with the Ray Lewis story. I'm all over that.
Wasn't Ray Lewis amazing today? Did you see him in that huddle with all the media?
Yeah.
At the end of the game?
High. Breaking out on social media this week already, talking about the stories about the murder charges that he was involved with. That's going to be all over the media this week. I'm following that closely.
Oh, okay. Well, We try to be more positive on this program. I mean, stuff like that, you know, has nothing to, in my opinion, has nothing to do with football. We'll let the news people handle that stuff. I'm more interested in a ball hitting the top of the upright, something I've not seen in a while. I'll tell you, the games today had a lot of interest. You know, they were really unpredictable. They were just so.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. What did you? Did you think they were predictable? Do you think that the way
well,
the games
you're talking
went?
You're talking to the guy who predicted the win. So.
Okay, John. Let's take this one step at a time. Let's take it because how many times did you change your drawers after the two games started?
Oh,
you can stop with that kind of stuff. I mean, jeepers. The two teams that won came back a long distance.
Yeah.
You know, they came back hard and fast. And it was amazing. It's amazing, you know, football is such a chess game, and people underestimate how much is that, how much the wheels are turning.
Sorry, Brian.
What's that?
I said that's why you got to play all four quarters to the whistle blows.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, that last interception was just, oh, my goodness. I mean, it would have been better
if... You know what's classic about that is that him and his friend there out in Denver get to go out the same way in the same year throwing an interception.
I sense a lack of appreciation for Mr. Brady.
Well, you know.
No, I don't. Tell me.
Oh, the kettle black, that's all.
I'm trying to be quiet on that one.
Oh, okay. Well, no. You can be tactful on that because the guy on the other line, the guy on the other line is a Pats fan.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm a Buccaneers fan down at the South, so I'm glad that Atlanta was out.
What's wrong with your ears?
I said
that went over your head. Your Buccaneers.
Oh, the Buccaneers. Yeah, I had a teacher say that once to me. I still don't get it, you know.
You still
pulling the draw. We're the short bus.
You know why you don't get it, Kevin? Because it's old.
Yeah, that's right.
Like
my generation. I'm in school.
Like Frank, I didn't want to say it. Like Frank.
Oh, sure you did. You just jumped in there and said it. Who are you kidding? Listen,
only
we got about. We just got under 10 minutes to go in the show, and I just wanted to mention to the folks once again. The phone number here is 714-242-5250. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Candid, Frank, and Lively. I'm Frank. One of them is Candid, and the other one's Lively. I don't know which, but I'm sure one of them is the other. Anyway, hey, guys, so now the NFL is about to another year. Since we're on the topic of NFL, I wanted to also, if we had time, and we do, you were talking about hockey, Kevin, being the boss in Southern Ontario. Now, what about these NFL games that come to Toronto at the Sky Dome? I know, John, you can share
Rogers
your opinion.
Rogers Center.
The Rogers Center. See,
yeah.
I'm not that corporately inclined. I still like it as the Sky Dome. That's my fault for saying that.
Me too. Me too, Frank. Me too. I can't get it out of my head. Every time I talk about the stadium down there, I always call it the Sky Dome. I can't get out of it. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, so now we get the Buffalo Bills come to town. The Buffalo Bills are basically our quasi-home team. You know, they're referred to as our Buffalo Bills. The subject I don't know if you're good with this one, Kevin, but this is the one that bothers me. It doesn't just, you know, the classless way in which some of the Buffalo Bills behaved after the game and were quoted as saying, this is a stupid place to come. The fans don't support us. The fans don't care about us. You know, the trouble is, they go another 200, whatever it is, 100 miles down, 150 miles down the road, or 100 miles, whatever it is, down the road to Buffalo. The fans there aren't very happy with them either. It's not like they're burning up the league. I mean, you know, you come into a strange city, you play like crap, and then you complain because the people don't make noise when you're on defense? I don't know. What do you guys think of this relationship between the city of Toronto and Buffalo when it comes to NFL football?
Who wants to go first,
Frank?
Okay, you go. Kevin, you're the guest. You go first.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, John. You know, financially it works out and it makes a good deal for the corporations between Buffalo and Toronto. Now, you also have to think of season ticket holders. There's a lot of Southern American season ticket holders or Southern Ontario season ticket holders that are crossing the border every Sunday to go see this Buffalo NFL team. We also have a huge support for our CFL team in Toronto, and it doesn't cross over. So CFL fans aren't going to the NFL game just because it's here. It's NFL fans coming here to support them in the Rogers Center and corporate backing as well. So it's a different type of fan, and also you have to look at the only fans that are going in the Sky Dome are typically the season ticket holders who have traveled down to Buffalo to see them. Now they can travel a little closer, and the corporates.
John, your turn.
Boy, I don't think we're getting enough time for my passionate answer on this one.
Well, you're only getting a couple of minutes, so get used to it.
Don't worry, I'll manage. All I can say is, I told you so, and every other passionate CFL out there who's been following the CFL could have said the same thing, I told you so. But it's a good thing that it happened because they needed to prove to the league, and the league needed to prove to the Canadians here that you guys will not support us. You don't support football from its grassroots, the high school level, the college level, the university here level. You just don't attend the games like you should if you are really a grassroots fan base city. And we are not. We are a bunch of wannabe NFL fans. I'm sorry, but I'm not a wannabe. I want my CFL. That's period it. I think this is a Canadian city, should be supporting this Canadian sports first, and we just don't do it from the grassroots. This is just an example for the NFL to say, we tried it, Toronto, now back off. And this is why you're not going to get it. You don't have the stadium first, and you don't have, first of all, the grassroots fan support, unfortunately. And that's where I got to finish it. I told you so. I'm so happy it happened this way. I love my Argos. I love the CFL. This is the way it should be. Maybe Toronto fans will now wake up after they saw the Toronto win the Grey Cup and what a lot of fun it could be. Bring back, you know, champions back to the city. Bring back, you know, the right football that we should have supported here in the city. And that's the CFL football. That's it.
TSN's trying their best to make they've done a good job of basically really bringing the CFL back from pretty dire straits, and they've done a good job of doing it. The people involved are basically doing a great job as well, and I think the league itself, you know, is doing a good job as well, starting with the commissioner. The thing I don't like about the NFL games here, basically, if you watched today during the broadcast, either of the broadcast, you would have noticed that the announcers had the American flag on their lapels. The problem with being a Canadian team in an American dominated league is you become an outsider. And I don't think any team, and I'll show you what I believe as far as the Raptors are concerned. I'll show you as far as even in hockey. This year will mark the 20th year that a Canadian team has not won the Stanley Cup. The ownership, the commissioner, are all American. And the Canadian teams do not get the respect that they deserve. And by that I mean, a few years back, the Toronto Maple Leafs were trying to make a trade for, now I forgot the Tampa player's name. Anyway, the league told Tampa not to make the trade. They got involved because they didn't want to see Toronto take advantage of Tampa. They later won the Stanley Cup. Now, with the Raptors and Vancouver, the Grizzlies, they entered into the NBA, and they were told part of the agreement was that you cannot win the lottery. You are not allowed to win the lottery. Never in the league's history has an expansion team ever been asked to give up, forego the number one draft pick overall. Never. That has never happened until two Canadian teams entered the league. Now, for those of you who are claiming I'm a conspiracy theorist, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking simple, unabashed politics. If a Canadian team ends up in the NFL, we're going to have a team that's going to become really inconsequential. It's what's going to happen because the NFL is American, and it's proudly American. Be honest with yourself. The Jays are lucky because they've got ownership that's big, granted, but more than that, they got a VP of the team who used to be in the commissioner's office. I guarantee you, Paul Beeston made sure that the Jays made that big trade. It wouldn't surprise me. That big trade won't happen unless you have the political will and the help to make it happen. And not that I'm anti-American. I just don't think, because I agree with John, we might as well go with the Canadian Football League. They're great players. They're great players, and we deserve to have them on the field of play so that, like John said, those young players that play in high school that move to college and then move on to the big leagues. There's a big league for them. Now, how is that for a rant, guys?
Perfect.
Perfect. I agree 100%. There you go.
So we don't really need to have the Americans play our Canadian game. And ladies and gentlemen out there, the Canadian Football League is the oldest North American league ever. So we have a deep history.
That makes a great transition. I'll just end this quickly. Following Ricky Foley this week on Twitter, he's doing some off-season workouts and is looking for a contract, and I'll be watching him closely this week. All right.
Are you concerned that he won't get a contract?
Got a minute left here.
Not concerned with him getting a contract. They're working hard. You always get it.
There you go. John, Kevin, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining me on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me on Blog Talk Radio. And we hope to hear from you folks out there to come and give us a call and talk to us on the air. Until tomorrow, this is it for another Candid, Frank, and Lively show. Have a great one, everybody.